Hi, I'm Rochelle Jackson. Welcome to the Crime Couch. I'm an investigative journalist and true crime author, and I know who's who in the zoo, the crims, the cops, and the interesting individuals in between. So get comfy and join me each week on the Crime Couch for a rollicking, intriguing tale. It'll be one heck of a journey. Former Detective Senior Constable Kay Murphy returns to the Crime Couch this week. Kay's led the way for women in the job. She was the first single mum and the youngest female in the CIB. She's worked in the toughest crime squads, the Breakers, Armed Robbery and the Consorting Squads, and the Homicide Squad. I'm sitting with Kay on the Crime Couch, northwest of Melbourne in regional Victoria. Hi Kay, thanks very much for sitting with me again on the Crime Couch today.
My pleasure, Rochelle.
You were working with the Armed Robbery Squad. What were you tasked to do?
Well, in 1973, when I went to the Breaking Squad, I then did a lot of work with the Armed Robbery Squad because there were no females. There had been a very well-known and well-respected police officer before me, a female, Pat Hunter, but Pat had moved on, and so I got tasked with, when the Armed Robbery Squad, Consorting Squad, needed a female, I was it. So that meant we would be out raiding people all hours of the day and night. The other thing that we did was we used to visit on weekends every Friday and Saturday night. We would be working 6 till 2, but six that could be 6 till 6 in the morning, and we would just wander around looking for the criminals and whereabouts they were, at nightclubs, hotels, or anywhere else that they would congregate. Often we went to the trots to see who was out there and who was together. It was very important that we got to know who was who in the zoo and who was actually with each other, consorting with each other.
Do you think it made a difference that you were a female detective? Do you think you got different intel from the guys?
No, not necessarily. But what it did mean was if we went to hotels or nightclubs, the Top Hat, the distillery, those sort of places, we would round up the females and I would take them one by one into toilets and search their handbags. And it was quite interesting sometimes to find a small firearm in a bag or a lot of money, sometimes jewellery. So that would be quite helpful for us because it was very rare in those days that male crims would let the female, who was generally their wife or long-term partner, take the blame for anything. So the guy would step up to the mark at times and say, yep, that's mine or whatever. Sometimes, occasionally, I'd be in the toilets with a female and she might whisper quietly to me something, but that was pretty rare.
You were working at Russell Street headquarters in 1986 with the robbers when it was bombed. Can you take us back to that day? When did you hear or know that Russell Street headquarters had in fact been bombed?
I was in the office that day on the phone with a friend of mine, a police officer's wife, and all of a sudden I felt the shudder and I saw a whole lot of debris going past the window. I thought that the old air conditioning unit on top of the building had finally blown up and I was pretty happy about that. Anyway, my husband rang me to say that he'd been walking across the bridge between the front and back building and you better send someone down there because there's been a bombing, a car's been bombed. So that was the first time that I knew that it had been bombed. It was devastating. I really knew, I think that day, that the war had begun. When I say the war, I knew that if criminals had gone to that extent to blow up a car outside Russell Street, in the middle of the day at a very busy time that there was going to be a lot of activity around by the police, and particularly where I worked and at the breaking squad, or they were called the major crime squad by then. But I knew that we were going to have a lot of activity because I knew that these criminals would be caught. I just knew that everybody would put in every effort they could.
How did that crime impact on Victoria Police and its members, Kay?
As I said, I believe that that day, I certainly know that I knew that day that the war had begun, but I think that a lot of police then realised that, again, this war had begun. There were a lot of police officers in the building that day, and I'm pleased to say that those criminals didn't get to do what they did, what they wanted to do, and that was bring their car in the back gate and put it under the building that I was in. Had they done that, I think things could have been a whole lot worse. So I think that once people got to know the story, police members, I think that everybody then realised the way we had known our lives to be as police officers, but also as civilians. I think we all realised that that day was the beginning of what was to come.
How were you involved in the investigation of the Russell Street bombing?
I wasn't on the task force initially, but being at the armed robbery squad, and once we identified who the criminals were, I knew then that they had committed a bank robbery that day where they'd stolen in excess of $400,000 later that day at a bank in Templestowe. And I was then part of the armed robbery squad group that got together and decided we needed to go through all of our armed robberies and identify any that we thought were attributable to this group. Being quite analytical in my mind, I was able to identify probably around 20 jobs, which included bank robberies, but they had committed an enormous amount of armed robberies and home invasions, they'd be called now, at private homes, at hotels, and a whole range of other places where they had not only gone into the place, but they had, if there was a female there, had sexually assaulted some of them in the worst possible way. I was as determined as anybody, that we would bring those people to justice, and we did.
Understandably, Kay, members are devastated, as you've said, and angry. How do you keep your objectivity as an investigator when you're investigating crims who obviously hate cops?
It's a common issue amongst police, my belief is, and I'm one of those people. If you lose your objectivity, then you become too emotionally involved, and it becomes far too difficult then to complete the investigation to the best of your ability. If you're emotionally involved, then you will lose vital parts of the investigation. They will pass you by because you're putting too much emotion in. Having said that, Rochelle, that sometimes can be difficult. And one of those times was during this investigation into these people, because of the dreadful crimes, sexual assaults they'd committed on a lot of the women who were not young women. One of them was a doctor's wife and she was quite an older lady. I was devastated by that.
Very tough times. In 1988, two young Victoria police officers, Constable Stephen Tynan and Damien Eyre, were ambushed and killed when they went to investigate a car which had been left unattended in Walsh Street, South Yarra. Now, how were their deaths perceived And how did you deal with that as police members?
I was actually in the country at a calisthenics competition with my daughters when I got the phone call about it. I was shattered that two of our police officers, young, innocent young police officers, just turning up to a job and being brutally murdered, and there's no other way to describe it. I think what brought it home to me even more was that one of them, I knew his brother very well, and I was absolutely shattered by it. But again, I knew that these people would be arrested, charged. I knew every effort that Victoria Police could throw at it would happen. I wasn't on the task force, but I certainly at times was called by the task force to do certain things. And I did it willingly. I can tell you that I have no doubt in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind the right people were charged. I'm not sure how a jury came to the decision they did, but I can tell you that when word came down that they'd been acquitted, I think every police officer was devastated and asked the question why. We had some of our most experienced and best detectives working on that job. I have no doubt, as I said, that they were the right people, just the wrong decision.
And that's, we're talking about Victor Pearce, Trevor Pennicle, Anthony Lee Farrell and Peter David McAvoy, or McAvoy, were charged with murder and later acquitted by a jury in the Supreme Court. So that verdict must have resonated right throughout the whole of Victoria Police.
Yes, it did. And although there was a lot of quiet about it, it was a talking point for a long time, certainly in my area. I was absolutely shattered myself because I had at some stage had dealings with each of those, particularly McAvoy, over another very, very serious crime earlier than that. So for me, I was shattered by it. And I think every police officer was, because I think we felt that the justice system had let not only police down, but the community.
Going from something really tragic like that to one of your best experiences, Kay. Now, I know you've already talked to me a little bit about this, was involving some overseas experience. You went to Atlanta, is that right? What were you doing over there?
In 1996, I got the opportunity to travel to Atlanta to the Olympic Games and do security. So I turned up about 2 days before the Games were starting, and there were some other Victoria Police people there that I knew quite well. Some of them I didn't know, but I certainly knew. And it didn't take us long to work out that the Americans were good at leading, maybe, but certainly weren't good at doing any of the work. So 2 days later, when the manager of the soccer venue decided to retire because that wasn't ready to start the next day, a senior police officer from Victoria that I knew well, worked with him at the Armed Robbery Squad, took over. And we took over the running of 13 venues out of Georgia, which was quite strange because we didn't know what they'd done or what they hadn't done. The two ex-LA police officers, leaders, commissioners, had gone missing. So we just did the best we could. And I will say that we had a fantastic time. The weather was appalling. It was so hot. I developed sinus out of it. But we had a great time. We really did have a great time, cemented relationships around the world. And I am proud to say that we were recognised, the Victorian Police particularly, for the work that we did. And by the time I got home about 8 weeks later, the then Chief Commissioner, Neil Comrie, had called us all together for a morning tea to say thank you, because he'd had a letter from the Olympic Committee to say how well the Victorian Police had done their job, done their role and had actually gone way beyond what was expected of us.
Well done. How do you reflect, Kay, on your 46, 47 years in and around the job?
How do I reflect on it? I reflect a lot at times about it. I had a great time. I met some great people both in the job and out of the job. I saw a lot of sadness. I saw a lot of happiness. But it was the best 46 years of my life. And if I had it all over again, would I do it? You betcha.
How would you like to be remembered in the job, Kay?
Well, I guess I'm not the right person to ask that. But I think most people that have ever worked with me, I'd like to think all people, but most people, would say that she never took a step back. She was always there for everybody, and that, it's hard to talk about yourself. But I'd like to think that people did see that I didn't take a step back. I always took a step forward if need be, but that loyalty was one of my strong points.
What advice, Kay, would you give to police women, or maybe to women that wanted to be in the job? What advice would you give them today?
Well, life's different now to what it was when I joined and over the years that I was in the job. But one thing that I think I would say is you need to be resilient. If you don't like the idea of having to see someone who's deceased, whether it's a car accident, whether it's a murder or whatever, if you don't like the idea of that, or you don't want to work shift work, or you don't want to work night shift, then probably Victoria Police is not the job for you, because there is no I in team. And Victoria Police is about being part of a very, very big team. As I said, no I in team. So if it's all about I, then I suggest that you perhaps think about what else you'd like to do in life other than policing.
And tell me, what's next for you, Kay?
Well, I've got 3 biological grandchildren and 3 that are foster grandchildren. So I like to spend some time with them, particularly my biological, because they live not far away. I'm a member of the Country Women's Association, which I know makes people laugh, but I don't necessarily cook scones and cakes, but I do work in the community, a small school in Flemington, breakfast program for Somalian and other African children, a homeless in Footscray. I'm an independent third person with the Office of the Public Advocate. And I guess that I'm one of those people that lockdowns do not do me much good at all. I like to be out in the community. And if anyone's listening and they've got a couple of days' work that they think I could do, I'd be interested in that as well.
Well, thank you very much, Kay. You've got an extraordinary life story and it's continuing. So thanks very much for sitting with me on the Crime Couch today.
My pleasure, Rochelle.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Rochelle Jackson, and I look forward to your company next time on the Crime Couch.